This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Okay, welcome you have the verse on it, the first scripture. You have the first scripture? No? No, okay, then I'll read it. I will not assume, but I hope that all of you got this scripture for this weekend, but I'm going to read it. It's from Isaiah 55, and it is from verse 10, and it says, "For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens," you know, God brings the rain and the snow. If you cannot make snow, there's a little artificial. But God brings it. God brings the rain. Okay? So it's his work for us. He wants to bless us. It's his invitation to us. "For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again," you never see it flying back. It stays on the earth. "But water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, without producing any effect or useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." So this whole weekend is about it. I'm lucky that I'm the first one. So if the rest are repeating me, you know it's confirmation. When I sat with God and I asked him, "Okay, Lord, how do you want me to do this?" Because the little part that I got was obedience and sacrifice. And I thought, this is quite burdensome. Again, God said, "No, I want to do it different. I want to do it in the form of a parable." So there's not many slides. The slide of the all the gardens and so you can just put up and leave, and I'll send to you when you can go to the next one. So only two slides, so you can chill and listen. God said to me, "You are like a garden. And seeds are sown in every person." So God gives us seed. We are seed, and so there is seeds in us. Different seeds. So I don't know if you can see on the left top, there's different seeds. It's just a few. So that's also why I pray that God created us different. If you're supposed to be a farm, don't try to be a mustard tree. Now if you need to be flax seed, and flax seed oil comes from you, you better be the best flax seed oil that there is. Okay? But we are different, and we need different seeds. And this is what God puts in us. But together, because we're on the earth, there's also thorns and thistles and weeds, and we experience droughts. And on the middle one is a maize field with lots of weeds. And I think sometimes we feel a lot nothing. In between the things that's supposed to grow, there is so much trouble, there is so much difficulty. It is just so confusing sometimes to discern what is the crop, what is supposed to be and what not. You can see that the crop there is also not very fruitful, not very blessed. There are some leaves, but not as what we would like to have it look like. The awesomeness of this is, so it's all part of the parable, is that we have a gardener, a guide. We have a gardener, and it depends on us. Are we going to use its advice, this gardener's advice? You can know that that is God. Or he will discern, he will help us. I got a very nice picture of tulips, and with the gardener with wooden shoes. So you're laughing in your eyes. But perhaps your gardener looks a little different, but it's the same God. And it depends on us. If we take his guidance, if we ask his guidance, if we practice his guidance, it's all, that is our choice. The water and the man come, but how we attend to our guidance depends a lot about our choices, what we do, what we want and deserve. I had a rebellion spirit in a sense, no, not in a sense, I don't have it. when my mother would tell me, okay, now it's time for you to study, she told me once in my lifetime I need to study. I was very precise with studying, I didn't like failing, so I did my best. So that day when she told me, okay, now I think it's time for you to go study, everything came up at me, a woman, a child, a dear, I'm not going, who are you to tell me? All those thoughts came up in me. And that is actually weeds. It's actually stuff that we need to rip out of us. We cannot interfere. So if we do not ask God to help us to discern what needs to be pulled out, what needs to be sprayed, how can I say? You can see there's insects and bugs. Some are beneficial, but some just eat your stuff. It just takes your, like the, the locusts, like the locust, it eats your food. It just eats it. And are you friends with that locust? Some people don't even recognize it. Yeah. If I see how the light went, still there's a long way in front, hopefully. Right. But for many years, I was religious, and I missed so, so much. If I see my children, how blessed they are to know God in a different way than I did. The locust has stolen a lot from me. They could have been much more fruit and blessing. I didn't see him, I didn't understand him, I didn't know that I could ask God to help me. I just went on the way that I thought. And often we are not careful. We have this rebellion feeling of, man, I'll plant these things, how I think I will plant them, and they will grow how I want them to grow. You know, that is very well done. That is very well done. God told me, he says, I am the water, the river, the clean, pure, living water. It's beautiful that during intercession, it was the same word that someone got, that he is the water. You must choose to use it in your own personal home. And what the fruit will be depends on God. But you have a choice to use the water. Do you check if the water is blocked? Do you check if it's contaminated? Do you check what water you are using? Is it really from the gardener, or is it some evil thing on the road that made it full of poison or whatever? You have to check it out. In that sense, is what do you let to come inside of you? What do you hear? What do you see? What do you listen to? What do you talk about? All of that will root in you. So if you let wheat root in you, it will take up the space. You can see there where the crops are. It will just fill you up. It will fill your time. It will fill your focus. It will fill what you want. It will fill what you do and what you speak and what you listen to. It will fill what you give up. So it's very important to see where do you tap in, with what do you tap in. Then another question is your garden just for yourself? You're supposed to be a blessing for one another, and our seeds need to bless others. If you're flax seeds and you're very stingy, and you keep it away from, say, for instance, palm tree or another grass or whatever, say, I'm a really long. I cannot be blessed by your flax seed, or I cannot, because you're stingy, you keep it for yourself. You don't have a garden. No one, I keep everyone out. All insects and everything. You can maintain it beautifully and broadly, but you can still be very selfish. It's for you. No, your garden is not for you. We are here for one another. We are here so that we can blossom and that we can see others blossom and enjoy them. Just that evening when we evangelized, I spoke to a guy, he's a young guy, he's only for a few weeks in the Netherlands, he's from Russia. And it was so good to speak to him. He never heard the true gospel. He heard some of it, some on the line, but he says, oh, he didn't grow up religious and actually doesn't know. So I asked him, can I share with you the gospel? He says, yes, you can. I would like to know it. And as I finished, I did very, very small, of course, in my way. I always have lots of words, but yeah. And he said, oh, now I realize a little more how it works. I never understood. He started in Genesis and he read the first chapter and didn't make sense to him and he left it. He said he thinks he had a very difficult translation. Well, if it was Russian, definitely. But so you could just give it to him and share to him. So it's part of your seed that you can sow into someone else. It's not for your own use only. Yes, it's also for you. You need to take care of your crops. If your crops look like that little picture, you have little to share. It's not much that you can share. But if you've been diligent and you've chosen to follow God and you've chosen to take His leadership, and when He stirs you and say, no, not that side. You know, often, I don't know, perhaps not you, but sometimes I think, oh, well, I'm kind of wise sometimes. So when someone asks me something, I will say, okay, yes, I think you must do that. And it happened more than once that I prayed afterwards, and God said, but that was not the answer. That is not what I wanted you to share to that person. It's not necessarily wrong, but it's not the right seed or at the right time. So I had to phone them and say, sorry, I phoned God and I missed it. It was my own soulish awesomeness which failed. So this is what God said. And they actually appreciated it that I went back and I could say, sorry. We are also responsible for what we sow elsewhere. If I spoke full of nonsense to this Russian guy, my only chance was lost. He's still 1 week in Israel. I will have missed it. And sometimes it makes me cry that we miss so many opportunities. You know, sometimes it's the only opportunity that we have to share the gospel, to say to someone what God means to you. What is your God up to? How you rely on Him? what is your testimony about him? Sometimes it's just this little window that you have. And often in my life I miss it, and I pray that I don't miss it more, but of course we will never arrive, but when you've learned a few things from your God, from God, how He wants you to grow, what is important to Him, so you can help another person. So sometimes you work in someone else's garden. Does it benefit you? No, not really. Perhaps if it's a neighboring garden that you can watch and see grow. But like this Russian guy, I don't know if I'll see him ever again. It's a choice of not being selfish. It's a choice of it's not being my God only, it's also someone's own. So we need to be there for one another so that we can blossom together. Some of these songs were so cool this morning, thank you, Ben. That it's what God has planted in us to grow it. It is really beautiful what God has put in all of us. If you start to look through those eyes and you see, wow, this one is more talented than this. This one's really cool in that. Whoa, careful for that, because this is not his good spot. It's awesome. It's so beautiful because together you can say, oh, this one is more a tree, that one is more a flower. That one, careful for that one. Careful in that sense, God made this person more sensitive. Another one he made more strong and bold. But sometimes you bump into someone in this big tree, whoa, and think, whoa. But if God made him that way, it's awesome. We need it. We need one another. Gardening is work. You can show the next one. Like this gardener? Is it not going? Okay. That was my little garden. I was so sick and tired of my black roof that I look at. So I said today I can maybe buy some pots and some plants. Yes, that was the first try. He bought a fake carpet and rolled it over that black surface. And that water that you see that is so brown, I learned in a book that Hercules borrowed me of Identity and Destiny that you can feed your plants. So the book was not about that, but I got that tip.
I'm getting
to the help. Yes. My plants, that plant, look good. So they are still small. I just put them in the boxes, or what you call it, the pots. And that brown water is vitamins, plant vitamins, fertilizer. When we pray, God can give you fertilizer. He can give you revelation. He can give you. He can say, okay, this. When I sit with God and He shares with me something, and in the beginning I just don't get it. And then I said, Lord, I don't know, but I don't get it. It's really a simple thing that you make me read, and I don't get it. And after the third time, and I read it out loud, I said, Lord, please, Lord, I clearly miss it. I can't see it. Open my understanding, open my eyes. And then suddenly, sometimes slowly, I realized, oh, you got this. I think this is like recognizing. Slowly it comes into your system, and then when it's first in you, it's just a revelation you have for all of us, like using fertilizer plant. But no, it's using God, it's His revelations. It is so so beautiful. Gardening is work, as you can see. You have to plant them, you have to get potting soil, you have to buy the plants or seed them and put them in the plant. Then sometimes you need help. You need someone to help me to water them when I was not there, because they will already die. That root is so hard. That they survive is a miracle. But then someone else works in my garden. Do you let someone else help you? Are you prepared that someone that God has put on your road can have an invitation in your life, can share with you, can say, you know, I've learned this, but okay, perhaps let's pray and hear what is on God's heart for you now. But some things are simple. There's some sin or some weeds or some bugs in our lives that may some people who have walked a while with God can spot them like that. So then it's good to have godly people around you. Not people that intimidate you. People that have really a heart for you to grow. It's so that we can grow together. So that you can blossom. God gave me a desire or a, I don't know what you call it, for deliverance. And it's not everyone's cup of tea, and I don't expect it. Because then I will have so much competition, you know. Perhaps the standard will rise. But then, it's his heart for me. So he made me curious. He led me to courses and to books. And I read a lot, and I went to a lot of courses, and altogether, I've learned a lot how to spot weeds, how to spot bugs. So, what is it? Only to keep my garden clean? No, of course not. I know a few things how to protect the garden. And if you didn't have that training or that background or that was not God's heart for you, you can tap into your neighbor who has that, who can share, who can help. Not to think, oh, I must also reach that level. No, that's not. It is so that you can grow. And for me, it is so beautiful to see people grow. When I see people set free, when I see the difference, some struggle longer, but then you walk longer. Because I know my God. I know who he is. I know what he can do. I know what he has in stock for us. I don't know exactly what you are supposed to be in your life. That you must hear from God himself, from the gardener. But I can help to guide you to get some weeds out and some bugs and get some prevention in your life. So that it can grow a little bit and you can show the Lord. You can't see, but they are actually bigger. I've placed them a little wider out and the angle is a little different. But you can see it's sweaty out there and you have to carry the buckets through the window and then I climb through the window. So it's really an effort. And this is also, it's an, as the title of this teaching is obedience and sacrifice, everything in life is a sacrifice. Everything you are obedient to, even if you choose it or not, it takes your time, it takes your focus, it takes your energy. So it's not to say that to be a Christian, oh, poor me, I have to sacrifice so many things, and it's so much labor. Anything in life is that. You can be lazy, then your garden has been overtaken. You can go back to the first slide of all the people. Then your garden is overtaken, yes. And you can sit and chill on your couch and just think about tomorrow again and again. And your garden will be overgrown with lots of nonsense. So your fruit will be little. And I think then we miss really God's purpose for us. We just miss it. There's really time for enjoyment. It's beautiful. A good garden looks beautiful. It's good for everyone to pass by. Sometimes when you pass by personal, when you're community with someone or you chat to someone, there's just something radiant out of that person. You just like to be around. And then imagine, is it the makeup? Is it the hair? Is it the shoes? Is it? No, it's the inside. It's what God gives to that person, and I also see it sometimes in people who don't believe. They just have this beauty. God gave it to them as well. Amen. Them as God. But they're weaker now. But still that beauty is in them. Because God put that seed in in everyone. And if they are diligent to keep rebellion away, to keep nonsense away, then God will look, okay, so even beautiful, or even have fruit of obedient children, but without God, we will not have eternal life. And that's also with us, our own superficial knowledge only lasts the season. The fruit is only ever, it's for the season. But God's fertilizer, God's ways of doing is for eternity. It lasts. You're the same in the season, out the season. I'm not someone different next week. I am still me with my good things and with my lacks, which I didn't receive, which is cool, because then I can sponge a little on someone else. I love it to see when we do the redemptive thing, to see all the different good things, because then I know, that one is naturally that one is naturally that one is that. And it's such a blessing to work together, because you see them flourish within the people. Don't give them stuff that's not the good things, because it will be hard work for them. It will cost you something, as will everything cost you. It will cost your time, it will cost your focus. It depends on where you want to put your focus. So if you like soccer, and you watch soccer, and you play soccer how many hours a week, it costs you other things. You cannot go and cycle. You cannot study other things or whatever. So everything has a cost. And yes, you can count the cost, but if you're supposed to look at your own garden first, then look at the garden around you, the people in your congregation, your other believers, then your town or your city, then your country, then the whole world. You're supposed to have an effect. You know, if your garden is beautiful, it does spread. If it has eternal value, it does spread. It goes, it, I want to say like pollen, it has a beautiful effect. But if you let weeds carry on, they will have a beautiful effect. So I just want to say, you cannot let the weeds. Okay, a few practical points. I shared already that you can help a friend, what you have learned, or just even if you haven't learned anything, just suffer a little with that person. Just sit with that person. Just say, okay, I also haven't figured it out. Let's pray. Let's try. Let's be there for one another. It's beautiful when people get babies, we all celebrate that. But then the congregation is often there to help the food, to assist, to celebrate. Even when you're sick or when you have to go through a difficult time. This is our purpose for one another. You need to be there for one another. So not only self-centered. Yes, clean up your place, but work outside as well. Volunteering, sponsoring someone for the camp. There's so many things. Daniel, my daughter-in-law in South Africa, when we were in South Africa for the funeral of my dad, she challenged me. She said, Ma, there is a lady in, I sometimes go with her, she said, she's a full of God. So what does that mean? Well, she overflows of confidence of who God is. So she walks everywhere where she walks with to spot people, who can she talk to? Even if she does groceries or anything. And you see, when she starts speaking, you can just see life starts to happen in the other person. There was a truck and they are delivering, and often Daniel parks there with her four little kids. And then she says, well, those people just check her out. And she struggles with the kids, but she's actually very good. But she feels kind of intimidated when those people are around. So So that day, this girl came with her husband. She said, she walked right up to them. And normally they play very loud music. That day, there was no music. So as this lady walked there, Daniel went with her and she said, oh, I don't hear your music today. And they said, yes, the battery's flat. And then that lady starts speaking right into the person's eye. She says, you know, God loves you. He died there. He wants, but I don't know why. She said, the whole face changed. He got quiet. He got timid. I think timid is the word. He just got concerned. And he listened attentively. You know, it is powerful. It is so powerful when someone stops you and says, I prayed about you this morning, or I prayed and God said to me this and this. When I walk in the street, then sometimes before I end up praying, it's better for me because then I'm not so insecure. And then when I spot that person, now, then I'm confident. So whenever we were in South Africa, God said to me, okay, a lady in an orange jacket. So orange is not very fashion now. So I thought I will spot this orange jacket very quickly. She went to South Africa. Of course I didn't. I thought, and I knew it must be in the front there. I checked myself at the Jumbo or at the Tesco or whatever. So I was looking and I went there 3 times, but I don't see myself. Then when we left, and I said, hey mom, did you find the person? And I said, no, I'm still looking for the lady at the front. There she is! Whoa, so now I couldn't hide. No, I had to go. I said, do you really think it's orange? Okay, no pressure. So I went to speak to this lady, she's more or less my age. I said, yeah, it's putting up pain. I thought God say I was praying to someone in an orange jacket. Oh, I am so glad. This is a divine appointment. Will you pray for me about this and this and this? And as we prayed, I said, I felt you're very insecure. Yes, I'm not covered, and this and this, my husband brings along. La 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 la. It was beautiful. Wow. If I was not so intimidated, I would have spotted her myself. But it's not easy for us sometimes to do it. But it's so wonderful. It's so powerful. We need to pollinate. We need to let it flow. That's what God has given us. We can't be stingy about it. We need to sow it. We need to, and the scripture is so beautiful. Seek for the sower and bread for the one who has to eat. It's different seasons. Sometimes you must eat. Sometimes you must sow. That's beautiful. Okay, so I'm thinking of. Yes, the last thing I want to say before the article is that it takes time to talk to God. You have to sacrifice something else. It's your choice. The more you get from God, the more you can do that. The more you're busy with stuff, the less. With stuff that's not what God wanted you. It's not necessarily the wrong stuff. It's just busyness. I've learned, especially these last 4 years, that God put us into the deep side of this thing. That I can first go to God. It spares me a lot of time. When we came back from South Africa and I knew it's going to go to there's so many things I have to do. And I'm not sure what God wants on this sermon. So on Monday, I said to God, I miss God now so much, it was so hectic in South Africa. I'm just going to sit in my bed and I don't know what I need to do, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do this. I'm not going to do washing or whatever. And God gave me this sermon. And it made me so quiet in my spirit because I was anxious about what to say. Because, yes, I have lots of opinions, but that's not why you came. You came because you want to know what God is on. So I need to know what is on his heart. And then the first time I sat with him, he was so kind. And And he just shared with me this parable of the garden and the seeds and the thing. And then he says, this is what I want you to say. No slides, just two pictures or whatever. No scripture. The scripture is the scripture for the weekend. So this is how God is. It's not a shortcut, but it saves you lots of time to try. When I had to give advice to someone, if I first asked God, I didn't have to find that. Yeah, so it would have saved me that time. But so often we think, okay, let's just do it. Let's just go. It's not the right chance. Okay. I think, just as you said, close your eyes, and I'm going to say a few things, and take a look at your garden, your own life. Ask God to come in. Welcome Him as you would welcome an honored guest. Welcome Him in your garden. Show Him around. In your part in your garden, or the part that you planned, or perhaps showing where you took out some weeds, He will celebrate with you. He loves it. Where you took His advice, or where you didn't take His advice. Where is still work to do? And where do you see it grow well? And there is where God can say good and thankful song. Yes, this part of your garden looks so beautiful, I'm so proud of you. You did so well there. He's not always focused on what you did wrong or what is still lacking. But He would love you to blossom and to the gifts He's put in you. And the purpose you are in life, have been like, He would love to see you enjoy it and blossom in it. Because it's all also for yourself good and enjoyable and less strenuous. Ask God now a picture or a word for your garden or for your life. And then for the last question, I don't know if there's some music next to you. If there's any place that you would like to return, and I'm not making you stand, we all know church, we all know how this works, and you would like to share, you would want to return to God. You can do it on your own, but sometimes it's just so much more powerful when you do it with someone else. It's as if it flies out of the door. As if those weeds will never get back, and they cannot grow back. So, if there's anything that the Holy Spirit stirred you during this teaching or what I shared, come to the front. Share with God. Tell Him what it is. Give it out of your life. You think so that your garden can start to look more like what He intended it always. He would love you to grow more and more. And He's there for you, 100%. So please come to the front if you want.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.